The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. It's interesting to get Jesus' explanation of his parable, the weeds and the wheat, a few days after we heard the parable. And I'll say why. Because in his description, in his explanation of the parable, we start to form in our own minds an interpretive framework that isn't necessarily lined up with what he just preached. So in this sense, we get like in this judgment at the end of the age that Jesus is giving us in his explanation, we start to think, okay, yes, like the sorting out, the fact it's clear, like this is not God's plan. This is, and we forget the fact that in the parable, what was rebuked in the eagerness of the people giving them over to God's plan, the people acting as God's servants, was their desire to rip up the weeds. And yet, if you just read the explanation, you might well walk away with a desire to rip up the weeds. So the challenge is to understand, both understand the parable and allow it to inform our perspective, right? So that we're not simply taking what Jesus says here and applying it to some structure of thought that we're already committed to. So we've shaken off the challenge of the parable, and we're just fitting this new data to our own scheme. Jesus wants to rewrite the scheme. And he wants to rewrite the scheme. And he wants to give us some sense of the way that the kingdom of God is coming and what it demands, both on the part of God himself and what it demands on us. What it demands on the part of God is, of course, that he's committed with patient love to the growing up of the wheat. And that means that he tolerates the weeds growing up alongside of the wheat. He is not eager to do anything that would affect the growth of the wheat to full harvest. And if that means then that he cannot uproot weeds as it's developing, then so be it. But this we have to grow into even that commitment on the part of God, even his understanding of the way that weeds and wheat somehow work together before the final judgment, the final sorting out. We have to grow into that ourselves as well. We have to take on God's view there. And I think taking on God's view is perhaps of secondary importance. Of primary importance would be becoming people like him, seeing that his commitment is to generous love. Right, his commitment is to growth into maturity of the wheat, and again, allowing, though he doesn't like it, the weeds to do the thing that the weeds are doing. Right? How much we have to be focused as a matter of primary importance on the task that God is entrusting to us of reflecting his glory, say reflecting his power, reflecting the power of love, living lives of self-gift, praising God with all we've got, reflecting his true nature to his beloved world. Yeah, this is a matter of primary importance. And the idea of, I don't know, like weeding, as it were, only a matter of secondary importance, and as long as it's not a distraction. Because we could turn our whole life, our whole heart, our whole mind to the idea of uprooting, right? What is evil, what is wicked, what runs contrary to God's plan. And yet, if that pulls us off of our course as stewards of God's good creation, if it makes us any less loving, it's not the thing that we should be doing. And don't think he's talking about love again, so he's let me flip the switch here, because there's more to it than love. There's not more to it than love. There is not. They have to understand love in the right way. Right? If we want to go back to willing the good of the other for their sake alone, then fine. We talk about the purification of agape, right? Of the kind of love that we only have by participation in the life of God. That's fine. Willing the good of the other for the sake of the other. But can I say, how infrequently that happens, at least naturally, we have to be about this work here, the liturgy, the work, our work, and the work of Jesus. We have to be about this work here to purify our love and to grow our capacity for love in the truest sense. And then we have to go and do that, even when we would want to be a little more self-centered or self-concerned. We have to be so focused on the other, and we've been habituated into that life here because we are putting God, the living and true God, at the very center of our hearts and lives, and everything flow from there. So again, the work is, in the end, our glorification will be glorification as reflections of God. And we see that come at the end, right? The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's our glory. That's what we're working towards. That's what we have hopes of becoming. We don't want to get distracted by anything along the way. Yeah, we do want to be about the work of cultivating the field. Very careful there to not use, I think, violent imagery, right? Even uprooting, it sounds violent, and we understand the connection of the roots in the field of the Lord. But we want to be very careful. But we want to be doing the work of cultivating everything that would conduce to the rich harvest. But first and foremost, it's our commitment to God and His way. And if we let God and His way go for any reason at all, then we're becoming like weeds, right? We're becoming like weeds because the seed of the enemy is taking root in us. And we have to make sure that's not happening. Receive the good seed of the Lord. Receive Him, right? The seed that is sown into our hearts and our lives, into our very bodies. When we receive Him in Holy Communion, when we turn to Him in prayer, receive the outpouring of His Spirit. We have the seed. Want to cultivate that, have it grow to full fruition. And if we commit our whole heart, our whole life to that, to Him, to God, and to His way of life, then we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father.